Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rexrode here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning at 9 o'clock. And we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of the DDC, to the program as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Darren, what's going on? How are you?
Good morning. What you guys were discussing the last segment, it just means he sucked at cheating. And
it's
if you're going to cheat, don't suck at cheating. Like, if you're going to try to beat the system, at least be good when you get caught cheating, right? I mean, could you imagine if you cheated on a test in school and you got an F? Like, what?
It's pretty unbelievable when you really think about
it. Or just like reading – it's like you're reading the study guide for the test, like, while taking the test.
open book test. But
it's not an open book test, right?
Like, oh, yeah. My god!
Oh, I can't do this? Oh, shoot.
What?
Just brutal. Well, Darren, we start on a bit of a somber note today. Obviously, the passing of Mark Howard yesterday, a guy that you were around for a long time in a couple of different stops, including with the Predators as well. Just your thoughts on Mark Howard and the life that he led and his career and maybe some of your dealings with him as well.
Yeah, that was tough yesterday. I know how this works, and when my phone is blowing up, especially – in July, it's typically not good because there's not a whole lot going on in our world, right? It's about to get cranked up full speed ahead, but usually in July, your phone's not blowing up. That's stuff you expect whenever, you know, all the Predator stuff is basically calmed down now. So, you know, Titans are not going to be doing it. So it's not that time of year to be getting those type of texts. And, of course, it's the worst text ever. So, yeah, I was stunned. Obviously, yes, Robbie, I've been around Mark since I've been in town. I mean, I've been here almost 25 years, and our paths have crossed all over the place, including being in the same building together for many, many years. Of course, you know, I'll never forget when George Plaster, Willie Donick, and myself were invited by management at a previous stop where we were before being here at 102.5, and we were already on the afternoon drive show, and they were discussing what do we think about a morning show? What do we think? At the time, it was not 24-hour sports. People forget that, but it wasn't. And they wanted to put a sports show in morning drive to anchor our afternoon show, and we discussed, obviously, Frank Wycheck and Mark Howard and Kevin Ingram, I'll never forget that meeting forever and ever. Mark was already in the building, but obviously he was not doing full-time sports, but he was still in television at News Channel 5, and so, yeah, you can go on and on. His work with Titans Radio, his work on Predators Television, his work at News Channel 5, his work on radio. Look, he is a part of the sports fabric that will live on forever in this market. For people who have just moved here, maybe you're unaware of the history of Mark Howard in this town, but for people who have been here longer than 5 minutes, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and he will forever be a part of the sports fabric in this market. He was a big part of what went on in this market, and of course, you know, this was the South, and it was, you know, it was kindler, gentler, and Mark was a Northeast guy, and so he brought a little bit more rougher around the edges approach here. And for some, it was tough to handle, and for others, it was welcomed. It still hasn't really set in on the news, and I feel bad because I hadn't talked to Mark in a while, and so whenever something like this happens, you always live with some regrets, like, you know, why wasn't there some communication, you know, earlier than, you know, why was there a little bit of a time, a lapse where there was zero communication? And I hadn't talked to him in a while, just to be perfectly honest, and I'm beating myself up over that.
Well, you know, but that's, I mean, Darren, that's how things go, right? I mean, we're all so busy, we all get into our things, because I do that a lot too. It's like, man, I haven't talked to this person for 2 years, and it's like a close friend. I mean, that happens. But obviously, you guys had such a strong shared experience, and both, you know, part of the fabric of of media here. And I we talked earlier, Darren, about Mark as an encourager of young talent in this town, you know, which isn't always the case for someone in his position and in the jobs he had. It's very easy for people to sort of brush people off and focus on themselves. But I was really struck by that, Darren, just the outpouring of different people who had stories about Mark helping them when they were just trying to break into this thing.
No doubt, because, you know, Mark was a big part, again, big part of the sports landscape when it comes to media in this town. When I first got here, I mean, he was – him and Hope Hines at News Channel 5 were crushing it in this market. Two guys that were well-respected and, you know, were breaking news. But, yeah, honestly, Joe, I've been surprised because I've obviously heard from a lot of people, and even I've learned relationships and things through this in the last whatever it's been now since yesterday afternoon getting the news that there were things I didn't know. And like you said, people that he helped, people that he was more than willing to, you know, critique them or talk about the business or whatever that I was fully unaware of. But I'm not surprised, but, you know, we ran in a lot of the same circles for a long time, and you expect to hear or basically know most of the stories. And I learned some stuff here since yesterday afternoon, but I wasn't surprised. And he was very passionate about the work that he did, and that was always my takeaway from Mark. He was very, very passionate about what he did. And like I said, sometimes rough around the edges, and sometimes that was abrasive for people, but you knew you were going to get an honest answer from Mark Howard.
Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Darren, it is tough to transition from that, but I do want to get your thuthts on the Predators, the Matthew Tkachuk trade. You signed Nino Niederreiter was signed last week by the Predators. Do you feel like they're done now in terms of the moves that David Poile has made this offseason? Do you think this is their team heading into training camp? And in addition to that, what did you think of the return for Calgary with Jonathan Huberdeau going the other way?
Yeah, that was an impressive trade, by the way. And I'll be curious to see how that works out moving forward. Do I think they're done? Yes, I think they're done. It may be a small move that really is not going to be on the radar, but I think they're done. Because when you start thinking about the pieces, Robbie, what other piece? Because you start laying out, okay, so with the moves that they've made and what they've done, okay, well, you know now where Ryan McDonagh is going to be probably a second pair defenseman with Ekholm. I guess Carrier would be alongside Josi. Maybe it's Fabro. I don't know. I think it's going to be probably Jeremy Luzon and Fabro as your third D pairing.
Yep.
When you think about McDonagh, he's going to be probably, what, your first penalty kill guy, right?
I would think so.
I would think he's going to be right there in the thick of that. I would say Nino Niederreiter is going to be a part of the power play, either probably the second power play unit, I suspect, maybe first. You know, again, these things are fluid and they can change. But and then you start thinking about, okay, where does he fit in those top six? I mean, I would say Granlund, Niederreiter, and Tomasino. For me, no, I'm not going to say Tanner Janot on the show. I feel like I should say Tanner Janot, but I'm not going to say Tanner Janot because I just know it's not going to happen, at least for the time being. So I'm going to go Niederreiter, Granlund, and Tomasino on the second line and keep Johansson, Duchesne, Forsberg as your top line. And then, you know, that third line isn't changing. And then I guess Zach Sanford is going to fit in on that fourth line, and I guess that's where Tolvanen is going to start. Cody Glass, and then obviously things can change, but I don't know what other move there is to make, right?
Yeah.
So
still have to get Trennan re-signed, too, to his contract.
And they're going to do that, you know. So they're going to get him back in the fold, and he's going to be there with Sissons and Janot. So, yeah, I think they're done. That was a kaboom trade with Tkachuk. Clearly, he he's one of the few players, you know, in the NHL that don't have Nashville, I guess, on his list, which did surprise me. I mean, we just feel like we're on everybody's list, aren't we? I mean, like, literally, doesn't matter what it is, we're on there. If a Frisbee tournament is or an organization is starting up in Texas, they've got Nashville on their list of, you know, a future franchise. I mean, it's
better.
So I was a little surprised to learn that. I mean, he basically handpicked Florida, but wow, what a huge trade. I think what I've learned from all this is the Predators have gotten better since the end of their season, and the Western Conference has gotten worse, which is a good thing for the Predators. I think it's gotten weaker.
Yeah, that's exactly what my question was going to be, Darren. Given not just the Preds moves, but other things that have happened, where do you think the Preds are right now in their conference?
I think they're in the thick of things. I really do. Again, the conference has gotten a lot weaker with the moves this offseason. I don't know how you can look at it differently. I mean, Calgary was a juggernaut last year, and what are they next year? They lost their two top pieces. Yeah, they got Huberto, but, I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, I don't know how you think Calgary remains the same or even better. I think that's an impossible thing to throw out there. They're going to take a step back. How far of a step back in the landscape of the Western Conference? I don't know, but, you know, does Vegas come back around? I suspect they will. But in the division, you know, you feel like Minnesota is probably creeping back a little bit. I just think we know that there are teams that are, I think, just there's three teams at least I've eliminated, and I think right now the Predators are absolutely in the thick of things, vying for that 2 and 3 spot. I don't know how you could look at it any differently. I think with the moves they've made, there's no reason why they shouldn't finish second or third. I think no one is going to pick them to beat Colorado. Colorado is going to be the runaway favorite. We know that. So give them the division, probably give them the Western Conference, and then it's everybody battling for the rest of those spots. And I think last year they were battling for the 7 and 8 spot. I think this year they're going to be battling for the 2 or 3 spot in the division.
Didn't have Chicago in there. Wow.
They're going to be the most fun team to watch.
Oh, just live it up. Watch suckiness at its best. Maybe they're cheating too.
Well,
maybe cheating and sucking. What a great combo.
Maybe they hired Pruitt. Who knows? Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro, joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. D-Mac, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. We'll put a bow on their offseason coming up next. Do we feel like the Preds are done now that the Matthew Tkachuk trade is off the table? We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Jerry Helper coming up at 9:30, who was with the Predators organization for more than 20 years, worked very closely with Mark Howard. We'll get his thoughts on Mark Howard and his passing yesterday. Just a tragic situation. We've talked about it throughout the show here today. We'll welcome more of your thoughts on our text line and phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Talking Preds right now as well. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Adam from Portland who wants to weigh in. Adam, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good morning, buddy. So just a general thought, man. So I grew up a diehard Titans fan, NFL fan in general, and I can remember being 14 years old the day the Titans got put out by the Ravens. They were supposed to have a really good team that year, 2000, and I'm watching Mark's show at night. He had Chris Sanders on there. They're seeing Brian Billick run through the locker room cussing, acting a fool, and just I remember being so down, and like he was always my guy I watched growing up. I listened to him a lot on your your competition radio station. I used to listen to the hell out of him. Great guy. Really loved seeing him join y'all for the little bit of time you had him. And so, but he used to cover the Preds like crazy before I got into them.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember hearing, I would hear him, I'd be like, oh, God, not more Preds. Because anytime you hear Mark Howard, you're like, he's going to go into like 2 hours of Preds. And, and then that finally, I was like, I guess I'll just start listening to it. And that's kind of how I got into the Preds, man. So I hate it. It makes me super. I don't know why it's hitting me so hard this morning, man, but it really is. Like, I just kind of sick about – I feel like he had a lot more good years in front of him, so I'm kind of sick about it.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate you sharing that with us. It's
great call.
We've had a lot of people reach out with their memories of Mark Howard. We've talked about it too, just the knowing him. And I didn't know him overly well, but the time I did spend around him, he was always so kind with his time. And I think Adam kind of sums it up well there. You just – when somebody's around that long – and, you know, whether it's on TV, radio, whatever it is, and you're in a market for that long, it doesn't happen in today's world of sports. And I think there's, especially for people who have been here in this city for a long time, in the surrounding areas, there's a connection there that's just, it's difficult to come by in today's world when you have the longevity that he had. And, you know, everybody keeps talking about, you know, I saw Rudy Kalis post this on Facebook a few minutes ago, just the sports encyclopedia that Mark Howard was. Any sport you wanted to talk about, really any time period of said sports you wanted to talk about, Mark Howard was there. He kind of reminded me of Pete Weber in that way, like being around those two at the same time. There's just anything you wanted to know about sports-wise, those two can get it done for you.
Yeah, like if it was like a sports media personality trivia showdown, that's probably your top two picks, yeah, right?
If you're playing against those two, you'd be in trouble.
Yeah. Jeff on the text line, nothing against any of you guys, but I always enjoyed Mark Howard very much, especially enjoyed when he spent time as a regular in your network in the afternoon. I thought he was straightforward and honest as well, but was not condescending or conceited. In all honesty, he's one of few TV and radio personalities that I never got irritated at while listening and watching. Speaking for myself, he had a personality and style that was easy to enjoy listening to regardless of what kind of day I am having. Much respect, and that says a lot about a man. He'll be missed by many.
Yeah.
Well said, Jeff.
Yeah, very well said.
I don't know who you're trying to say is conceited, but, you know, condescending.
Right at Rex Road.
Hey. No, Mark, and that, but it was, I feel like Mark had a good balance of, as DMAC pointed out earlier, he, in the early days, I wasn't here, but it was sort of, maybe he brought a little bit of an edge. You know, the East Coast media edge, which Kaharsky probably as well, right? A little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But he wasn't – I mean, to me, it was a very nice balanced approach, you know? I mean, he'd get fired up on some stuff, but, like, everything wasn't like an indictment of, you know, the team or the person or whatever.
Right. Yeah. We'll have Jerry Helper's thoughts on Mark Howard coming up here in just a few minutes at 9:30. Joe, I do want to get your thoughts on the Preds real quickly. With Matthew Tkachuk gone to Florida, which, by the way, what a heck of a trade that was. Blockbuster over the weekend. Matthew Tkachuk goes to Florida, signs an 8-year extension. Mackenzie Weegar, Jonathan Huberdeau, part of the package coming back the other way to Calgary. So I think Calgary actually did pretty well for themselves in this trade. So with that off the table now for the Predators, Niederreiter's in, McDonough's in, you've re-signed Forsberg. Do you feel like the Predators are done with the moves that they could make this offseason? We've talked about Tolvanen. We've talked about Fabro. I guess there are still things that you could do if you're David Poile, but do you feel like this is the team for the Predators heading into next season?
I would guess that, but I'm still keeping an open mind on the possibility of some kind of a trade to potentially continue to strengthen the forward group would be what I would assume it would be. I mean, they got a surplus of backup goalies. They've got plenty. Well, they don't have a ton of depth defensively, but they have a top six that you know, is pretty good
depth.
But I still feel like, in particular, a couple of those young guys who have not reached their potential here, who maybe could benefit from a change of scenery, who may be, I don't know about coveted, but who may be interesting to other franchises, I still could see David Poile pulling something off. But if I'm picking either or right now, I'm gonna punch the this is the team button.
So if that's the case, and this is what they go with moving forward here, I'll ask you the same question you just asked Darren. Where are they?
Are they? I think we would all agree that they're better. I don't know how you could look at them right now with Niederreiter coming in, with McDonough coming in, and with you not losing any major pieces. And I've talked about this, no disrespect to Luke Cunningham, but it may be addition by subtraction with him coming out. Like, with all the moves that you've made this offseason, the one that I still shake my head at is the backup goalie with Kevin Lankinen. But even with that, like, I feel like they're unquestionably a better team with some of the additions they've made. So with that in mind, what exactly does that mean for this group heading into next year?
You know, one thing on that point, David Rittich, nothing to write home about last year, but are they potentially worse at backup goalie?
If they are, that's a scary thought.
It could be. They could be. That's not ideal. But, yeah, you look around, like Darren pointed out, it's been a lot more going out than coming in this conference, just how it's worked out. Avalanche, clear favorite, of course. Defending champ, clear favorite. Calgary, I agree. I mean, Huberdeau is a heck of a return, and they get a first-round pick, and, you know, that's a good trade for them, but they're not as good, right? You look around, I feel like it could be the Preds and the Blues battling to be the second best team. I would favor the Blues there, but it could be that it's Avs, Preds, Blues, not just in the Central, but in the conference.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, the Flames, look, getting Huberdeau back's a big deal. You're still not completely replacing Tkachuk and Gaudreau with one guy in Huberdeau. So, you know, I think what you just laid out there in division absolutely could be the case for the entire conference as well. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jerry Helper, former VP with the Nashville Predators. We'll get his thoughts on Mark Howard and his passing yesterday. Jerry Helper worked very closely with Mark Howard for years. We'll get his thoughts on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A very tough day here yesterday in our city. Mark Howard passing away. We've shared some memories from him throughout the show here today on the program. Got a lot of your memories on our text line as well right now, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But to help us talk a little bit more about Mark Howard, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jerry Helper, longtime member of the Nashville Predators, as a senior vice president in their communications department as well, and worked very closely with Mark over the years. Jerry, I wish we were having you on under different circumstances, but really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Well, Robbie, I appreciate the opportunity. I like you, am sad to be talking on this topic today, but it is so appropriate to pay honor and tribute to Mark for what he meant to this community. So thank you.
Yep, no question about it. So, Jerry, I know you've worked really closely with Mark over the years. I just kind of want to turn the floor over to you, just the type of person that he was. We've had so many different people reach out to us throughout the show today. The professional he was as well. I think we all knew that both on TV and radio, but just your thoughts from your personal experiences with Mark Howard over the years.
Well, I think the first thought that comes to my mind was always his enthusiasm and love of sports. I mean, if Mark could talk sports, it was going to be a great day. And it didn't matter whether it was Predators, Titans, baseball, you name it. He loved to talk. He researched. He took his work seriously and was very passionate about it, but he never took himself seriously. And what I always appreciated with Mark, and Robbie and Joe can both relate to this, is that in any market, generally, not all media get along with each other, and not all media necessarily get along with the team representatives. But Mark had the unique ability to be friends with every one of those people. And, you know, he'd be talking to one person over here, and then 5 minutes later, he's talking to the other side of the disagreement over there. And it was something that you know, everybody respected Mark. Everybody enjoyed working with him. And I think as it related to the Predators, you know, before the online army came along, of which, you know, Robbie was a big part, Ryan Porth, Jeremy Gover, Justin Bradford, and Chris Martel, among others. I know I'm leaving a couple out, but that group really helped drive additional coverage and interest in the team at a time when the mainstream media was not as focused and passionate. We had only a handful in the early years who really wanted to embrace covering hockey in that. And, you know, Mark was at the forefront of that. There was, you know, Greg Pogue, David Beauclair, Mark McGee, and John Glennon, and Mark, who really understood the value of the hockey team to the community, loved hockey in general, and really embraced telling the stories. But people like Mark were few and far between in those early days. And, you know, he's probably not given as much credit for how much his coverage meant to the early day growth and development of the franchise.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Jerry. I don't know if you heard our last segment, we had a caller call in, and essentially, to paraphrase, say he loved Mark Howard, and early it was like, oh no, he's going to talk Preds, and he's like, okay, I'll just listen to him, and it got him into the Preds. And of course, we've talked so much about Pete and Terry, and obviously the massive impact they had in terms of bringing the sport and the franchise to the fans here. But I mean, that's something, honestly, until today, and it's not the circumstances you want to learn things like this, but until today, that I didn't really know that. But it's really interesting, just Mark Howard wanting to enter it into the conversation and make it a part of an area which, of course, at the time was completely football dominated, I'm sure, must have really had an impact, huh?
100%. And again, he was the number two guy at Channel 5. So, you know, he wasn't in the driver's seat per se, but he certainly had influence at the station. And then when he went to the Wake Up Zone show, you know, again, he was on with other people who were more interested in perhaps football and so on. But he always incorporated the Predators and hockey into the talk. Even if it wasn't a ton, he made sure it got some space. And then I believe we added him to the broadcast crew as a way thinking, hey, A, he's knowledgeable. He's a great fit for what we're trying to do, but we will benefit from his presence on our broadcast on the morning show. And so there was some real crossover in that regard. And so, yes, he was very, very important to what we were trying to do. And he was, again, when you're hosting on the desk, you're not getting a ton of airtime. You're kind of the traffic cop and this and that. And yet he approached every game day as if he was reporting on anything and everything. And I'd watch, you know, he'd come to the morning skate and people would be off talking to in a group with one principal, whether it was Barry Trotz or a player or so. Mark always looked for other angles, and you'd often see him down the hall with one of the assistant coaches trying to gather some other information. And so it was always a case where he might not even work that into his work that night on the Predator broadcast, but he also now had more information for his morning show. So he was really a hard worker who cared, well-read, always up to speed. You know, you could debate him on things, and you would always know that he was going to be prepared. He had researched whatever topic you were talking about.
Jerry Helper on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, remembering the life of Mark Howard. So, Jerry, you've been around so many people in the media, and you know this as well as anybody. There are some that work really hard, and there are some that really don't in this business, and usually you could tell. I'm just curious, from your vantage point, just speak to the talent level that Mark Howard brought to the table and the work ethic that went along with it. Because, I mean, it's just watching the reaction the last couple of days, you know, people keep throwing out the term sports encyclopedia, and I think that sums him up pretty well. He was so knowledgeable about whatever the subject was.
Well, Robbie, you'll probably appreciate how hard he worked, in that you would be sitting in the press box, and if you remember the last couple of years, Mark would sit over on the one side between Brent Peterson and myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mark was doing some social media stuff, but I was always amazed that he'd have his laptop out and he's watching two other games while he's watching our game. And then when the period ended, he's going on websites, reading information, reading stories that you knew he was going to incorporate into the radio show the next day. So he had a terrific work ethic. And I think, you go back to looking at his various stops, doing from his Evansville stop to doing some play-by-play, and then the TV job when there was more reporting, quite frankly, in the 80s and 90s on the TV side. Now the stations are so short-staffed and have so little time, they don't have a lot of time to really report, per se. But Mark was a true reporter, and he worked at it. That's why I say, on game day mornings, he was working the room. He wasn't just I always marvel at how I often would see media standing around talking to media, yeah, as opposed to talking to the principals. Mark was always talking to players, equipment managers, assistant coaches. He was always trying to gather more information that he would be able to use. And as you guys know, you gather 100% of the information and you may only use 10 to 20% of it. Mark found ways to get that other percent in other forums that he was involved in. So a real worker and a real pro at what he did. And he never took, if there were disagreements, he never made them personal. He and I would have some issues from time to time, but we always respected where each other was coming from. And I can remember one time when he was doing the TV work and we were playing Detroit, and you guys both know the hallway between the locker rooms where there's the wall that the gate that separates the visiting room from the home room.
Oh yeah.
And typically there are TV interviews and you interview, the Predator players on one side, the visiting team on the other side. Well, Mark, we were playing Detroit, and they must have beat us. So Mark was going to interview one of the Red Wings. And I don't know what happened, but the cable apparently would not reach all the way across for whatever reason. So I come around the corner, and here's Mark on our side of the door interviewing a Red Wing. And if he could, he saw the expression on my face, and I saw the whites of his eyes, and he couldn't finish that interview quick enough. And, he comes over to me and he says, we couldn't do anything. We had to do this. And I'm like, Mark, that can't happen. This and that. Well, for the years thereafter, we would retell that story over and over to each other. And each one of us would start it differently. But it was an example of, he was committed to doing his job, but we could laugh about that stuff that other people might not have laughed about later on.
Jerry Helper, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, remembering the life of Mark Howard. Jerry, appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning. Again, wish we were talking to you under different circumstances, but it was a really nice to kind of go down memory lane there with Mark Howard.
Well, again, I appreciate the time you folks have devoted to Mark. He was a real treasure for the market, and I hope those who have come into this market more recently through some of these stories understand the impact he has made. And so, he's going to be missed, and we really need to keep his son Jack in our thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely. No question about that. Jerry Helper, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, remembering the life of Mark Howard. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Mark Howard, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Thanks to Jerry Helper for joining us in the last segment. Some great memories of Mark Howard. Got a lot of your thoughts on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Donovan on the text line says, Mark Howard will be greatly missed. He had a unique voice and a style of speaking
that set him apart. Gabriel on the text line says, RIP Mark Howard. Enjoyed for years listening to him and his analysis. He had a distinct voice and was a Yankees fan, if I remember correctly. He was a sports staple in Nashville and will be missed. Lots of love pouring in today for Mark Howard. Well-deserved. And, again, I wish we were talking about Mark Howard under different circumstances, but just tragic news yesterday. We've offered up a lot of thoughts today. I'll just kind of sum it up this way. He had a great career, but I think what you're seeing come out today is beyond just the sports and the career part of it, the impact that he had on other people. And I keep coming back to the same word, intentionality, that he had with other people, being focused on not only his well-being, but the well-being of others as well. I mean, too often in today's world, you know, you look at people and sometimes you even view them as a stepping stone of, all right, well, how can I get what I want out of this situation or what I want and use you to do it? And Mark Howard was not that way. He was always very concerned about others around him, even younger people that were just kind of breaking into the business that he had no real reason to talk to other than just being a nice guy. That was who Mark Howard was.
Yeah, it means so much. It makes me think of being like a college newspaper reporter and Drew Sharp, who ended up becoming a really good friend of mine and who also we lost way too early. Just tell me one time, like, he read my stuff in the student newspaper, and I was just like, what? I was just blown away,
yeah.
You know? Like, that stuff matters, you know? So whatever we've said it on the show today, you know, whatever you're in, you know, help people, help young people, you know, it, without having to ask what may be in it for you.
Yep, no question about it. We'll take your thoughts really all week long. On Mark Howard. We'll have Paul Kaharsky on later this week, who wrote a great piece yesterday at paulkaharsky.com, remembering the life of Mark Howard. We're going to try to get David Beauclair on this week as well. So we'll have a lot coming for you on Mark Howard and remembering his life throughout the week this week on Robbie and Rex Road. So we are a few days away now from Titans training camp beginning on the field. Your top storylines heading into camp coming up this week for the Titans. Obviously, a lot of attention going to be paid to Treylon Burks. The offensive line, two positions, and two, you know, in Burks' case, a player that we've talked about a lot so far this offseason. What else stands out to you about the Titans heading into this week with training camp beginning?
I guess if I was going to do five, ooh, although you can break them, you could break them further down, like on the offensive line. But I'd go Burks. I'd go Farley. You know, Burks, can he get on the field? Farley, can he be healthy and actually push to be a starting corner? And can he be a plus starting corner? It's a lot of questions with one guy. I'd just go offensive line as a whole because you got two position battles and you got four guys that, frankly, I don't know if any of them are good enough to start in the NFL. And we're going to find out. And the Titans badly need two of them, one at each spot, to prove to be that. Although I guess Raiden's could – in theory, well, and Jones could, in theory, move inside or outside. I would then go certainly Malik Willis as a big time story, very interesting, not related to this season on the field, but it's a huge part of the Titans' future. What does he look like? How does he grow? How does he progress after this whole preseason is done? I think we're going to have a better idea of whether he could potentially start competing for this job in 2023. And why the heck am I forgetting the last one? Oh, the last one is Jeff Simmons.
Yeah.
Is he going to be on the field? Is his contract going to be redone? If his contract's not going to be redone, is that problematic? You know, obviously, the first day of seeing whether he'll be on the field will be interesting. I don't think it matters that much if he's, like, on the field for all these reps. He's a great player. We know what he is. He knows what to do. But still, the future of Jeffrey Simmons with the Titans, it could be locked up. It would break precedent for John Robinson, but in my opinion, I think I would absolutely be exploring that and trying to get a better deal for the franchise because I'm willing to explore it.
I'm really interested to see if that happens this week and to whether or not there's movement on that front. Obviously, whether or not Jeffrey Simmons is on the field for training camp coming up, but that's going to be certainly one of the top storylines to monitor. The PUP list came out, so physically unable to perform. Monty Rice on that list. Caleb Farley not on that list, neither is Robert Woods. So good news there if you're the Titans. It doesn't necessarily mean that everything's great and everything's perfect with them in terms of their recovery from ACL, but certainly them not being on PUP to begin training camp is a pretty good sign if you're a Titans fan with those two.
Yeah, no question. And Woods has to be a big-time producer this year, especially given the questions about Burks. That increases the onus on Woods. So having him out there to do everything would be big, or most everything. And then Farley, again, that's the one spot. Although I do think that depth, and Monty Rice plays into that, is also a concern right now. Depth at inside linebacker. Of course, two guys who were mainstays are gone, you know, from last year. You got two, I think, really good starters, but you got to have more depth there. And then at safety, too. They did sign Josh Kalu back. So he's a guy who, you know, has been a nice special teams player, but they need to identify a third guy they'd feel okay with being on the field.
Maybe the guy's Theo Jackson.
It could be. He definitely showed some things during the spring. It's a big, big camp for him to see if he can solidify himself in that way. That'd be big for the Titans.
It would be big. And Corey brought this up earlier, Corey Curtis from News 2, like the cornerback position. Because I think it is a good point to remember. We're talking about those starting three. So some combination of Fulton, I would assume Molden, and then I think we're assuming Farley, but we'll see what happens on that front. You're going to need some depth at corner. I mean, it just it ends up shaking out that way pretty much for every team across the league at some point. Like, you're going to have some decent corner depth. And I guess, you know, with McCreary being taken in the second round, you've got Buster Screen in there as well, Chris Jackson. Like, I will say at least you feel good that if you have to go deep into your cornerback pool, you've got guys that are either very talented in the case of Roger McCreary, or guys that have at least been on the field before and started NFL games in Jackson and Screen.
Yeah, like I'd say depth, they're okay because they have at least functional players there that have played the NFL. But that's kind of how I look at the offensive line too.
Yeah.
They have depth, but the problem is if it's four backups, you know, for those two spots, you know, that's good. You can just keep switching back and forth and you're not getting
fresh legs out there.
Front. Yeah. So they've got people, but you know, inside linebackers, you know, they need to make sure that they're okay there. So I think veteran signings somewhere in any of those spots could be possible as the camp progresses.
Maybe the mock drafters were right the whole time when they were mocking inside linebacker the Titans in the first round. Maybe they saw this coming with Monty Rice, and they just needed somebody in there for depth.
They're like, they better draft that third linebacker in the first round. Yeah,
David Long Jr. Who's that?
I mean, he's a pretty good. Rams. He's a good corner, but man, is he big enough to play inside linebacker? I don't know.
Can't wait till people, quote-unquote, discover him this year. Going to be fun stuff out there.
I tell you what, it's going to be interesting. I don't know if he's, you know, you don't know if a player is going to keep taking steps like you. But when you look at the step he took from 20 to 21, it takes another step. I don't think people are going to not know who he is all year.
I don't think so either.
He's a really fascinating player.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Rub. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. The DDC up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.